from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We mentioned this earlier. We have the Jordan Love deal. We have the Tua Tagovailoa deal. At some point, we're going to get something with Dak. At some point, we're going to get something with CJ. It doesn't mean that Dak's going to sign with the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't, he's going to sign with somebody. Yeah. And, you know, that's all. This is, all three of those quarterbacks are going to be in the same time frame. A lot of what's happening right now with the San Francisco 49ers, not necessarily in terms of what Brandon Ayuk wants or what Trent Williams wants, a lot of what's happening with them in terms of navigating is that they know they have a massive contract to pay next year. And it's difficult for them, at least I'd imagine. I've never been in this position. It might be shocking to find out. I imagine it's difficult for them to – they don't know exactly what they're going to have to pay. Mm-hmm. Now, we had a discussion on Friday when Tua's deal was done, and you start to see the way – and this happened with Jordan Love. Like, you start to see the way contract, like, average annual value shakes out. Mm-hmm. And, like, hey, if you manipulate it this way, we can get you up here in the top three, in the top four. And, you know, Kyle on the handoff a couple of days ago was throwing out some numbers to show, like, you remove the fake years, you fall, you know, further down the list. But this year, and this is the big difference between Brock Purdy and those other two quarterbacks, is this year could put Brock in the Josh Allen, I'm going to put Patrick Mahomes in his own category, but then you put like Josh Allen, probably Burrow. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Lamar, you put CJ, those, you might even put Lamar in a different category, but you put those guys there where it's like, I use the analogy of I think and I know. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, you pay them. You think, you're confident. Mm-hmm. But you, in the end, you think that that's your guy moving forward. Those other guys, you know, in you know, the Chargers, the Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, you know that's your guy. Mm-hmm. I think Brock Purdy, right now, today, on July 30th, is still, I think that's the guy. Mm-hmm. He has an entire season to show the San Francisco 49ers that they know he's the guy. Now, either way, he's going to get paid, and he's going to get paid substantially. But what's become clear is I thought when we saw the number, like, what's I think Joe's 55. I think it was 55-ish, maybe. Yeah. And he's the highest. Mm-hmm. Man, I didn't think Brock could get to 60 because it's just the $5 million is such a huge jump.
Right.
Brock might get to 60.
Yeah.
But they don't know that. They don't. They legitimately don't know what they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. They have an idea, mm-hmm. but in the NFL, every dollar counts,
yeah.
which is making what they've got to do with Trent Williams right now and Brandon Ayuk. I think Brandon Ayuk significantly more so, but those two guys, it makes it a lot more difficult.
Don't you think they possibly, and I'm pretty sure they do actually, just kind of assuming, But don't you think, like, maybe Parag Marate has a spreadsheet in his office that, and they might even have the big whiteboard where it says, okay, Brock Purdy making $57 million a year. And that's the title of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes down, like, if he's making 57, this is what we can pay this guy,
sure.
this guy.
Sure.
And then you go to 59.
Mm.
And if he's making 59, this is what we can pay this guy. And it might go all the way up to, like, 63, right? And, like, and they would know, like, okay, if Trent Williams, Trent, if we give you 27, that means if we have to play Brock this much, then we're going to have to cut this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they're just kind of doing the finagling right there, like the guy from The Hangover and all the numbers.
Yeah. I like the idea. Yeah. And I think there's a very realistic aspect to that.
Mm-hmm.
But with the NFL, it gets so convoluted in that you can, okay, you know, using your analogy, okay, if we got Brock to 59, IU, Trent, blah, 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 blah. But then you have to put stars next to, I'm just going to pick a name, McCaffrey,
mm-hmm.
D'Amador, Lenore. We can restructure their contracts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you put little asterisks next to it. We can't restructure theirs.
Right.
So they're out. These guys, they're just flat out cuttable.
Yeah.
Are we willing to lose them? Like, there's so much that goes in. Because, again, I don't know if you guys heard this before. It's not the NBA.
Right.
Once that money's there, it's there. Right. Unless you're trading it to another team, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can create a rough outline,
mm-hmm.
right? But you can't create a spreadsheet.
For sure. And it could be one of those things, too, where it's like, you do that.
What would Farhan think? That's who we should really get involved.
Well, if this is what the 49ers should do, and if anybody knows anything about winning in spreadsheets, it is me.
It's all me, right?
Farhan Zaidi. And this is what the Niners should do. When they look
I thought that was the end.
No. I'm telling you what they should do. When they look at Brock Purdy, they have to look at his Vazorp.
Yeah.
And if his Vazorp is equal to that of Trent Williams,
yep.
and somebody like D'Amador Lenore, because at the cornerback position, his Rejurg is something that you have to factor in to his next contract. Now, if his Rejurg isn't up to par, and if Christian McCaffrey's Rejurg isn't up to par, I would suggest getting rid of McCaffrey, Debo, and Kittle, and then going to sign Keenan Allen.
That was my fault.
Ultimate Warrior thoughts.
No. That was
if Brock Purdy asked for $60 million, the people from above would look into Mars and they would see the Skippy peanut butter and they would know that that's when the Chicago Bulls should have got the 2031 pick swap.
That's... You got to snarl a little stronger there at the end. That's one of my favorites. That actually... That promo was almost too coherent to be the Ultimate Warrior. You need to make it a little bit more out there. It made too much sense. Just a little bit too much sense. But the funny thing about Brock Purdy and all of this conversations, whether you're at 55 or 60, there's no if. It's just a question of, is it we think or we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. And it's perfectly fair. I feel like the 49ers is, they think they know, right? Like they feel like Brock is their guy moving forward. They've invested, you know, obviously they can't do it financially, but everything else points to Brock being the guy moving forward, like the guy moving forward. But this year can go a long way in solidifying that for both ends. And if Brock is in fact the guy, the 49ers aren't going to have an issue paying him $60 million per year or whatever, you know, they've finagled this contract out to be. But all of these think pieces written about what the San Francisco 49ers do about Brock Purdy, nothing. They pay him.
Mm-hmm.
They do exactly what the Miami Dolphins did. They do exactly what the Green Bay Packers did. They do what the Los Angeles Chargers did. They do what the Cincinnati Bengals did. They do what all of these teams do when they have their quarterback. There's no if, there's no how do they navigate this. They've got their guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on what level do they feel like they have him. And that level is really going to boil down to, Does it wind up being a 3-year contract where, like, it'll be announced as a 4 or 5 year deal, mm-hmm. but it's really three? Mm-hmm. And the difference will be, like, if they know, that's going to be a 4-year deal.
Yeah.
Where the last year is the one that you restructure, and you use that one, $75 million that year to boost up the average annual value.
Yeah, what they always talk about, when they cut them and they have to pay, it goes to the cap. The dead cap. The dead cap would be $2 million.
Right. That's 100%. Yeah, exactly.
You pay him. I think, regardless of like how good I think he is, like you mentioned, you're just in that situation now where that's the quarterback. At the very least, that's the quarterback for this next deal that's up, right? Like you,
yeah.
There is no, oh man, he had a rough season. I think we might need to reverse course and think about, you're signing Brock Purdy. You're probably signing him to the richest quarterback contract available. And then you kind of cross your fingers. And with that spreadsheet, fictitious spreadsheet that I kind of talked about that might be real, you go through that whole thing and you talk about guys that you have to cut. Sometimes people think that's like the third string safety, right? You look at Brock and you're like, well, we got Brock here at $59 million. We got to keep Trent. We got to keep CMC. We got to keep Ayuk. Maybe able to structure this one. But there's some that's like, if we got Brock at 59, Ufanga's got to go.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's one of those type of guys.
That's tough.
It is. It is. But that, I mean, it's the nature of the beast. You know what I mean? Like you can franchise them, I guess, but the Niners don't ever franchise.
But you know what
anybody.
I think it is? You know what I think it is? I think it's closer to if we got Brock at 59, and this is the conversation that's happening today. Mm-hmm. If we got Brock at 59 and had to pay Ayuk at 29, that's where we cut Ufanga. Mm. Like, because I think they're factoring
in.
I think they're trying to build a contract that they can't build, mm-hmm. while putting together another one that they have to do right now, mm-hmm. while also getting their Hall of Famer set.
Yes. Yeah. And the way, to me, the way that you see what they're trying to do is their draft. They're preparing for guys that they've got to move on for in the last two.
Running back.
Jair Brown, mm-hmm. the safety.
Mm-hmm.
They're preparing for Hufanga's replacement, I think. Mm-hmm. Ricky Pearsall, they're preparing for one of those receivers, Debo or Ayuk, not mm-hmm. to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you, these guys know, these players know. They'll tell you what their plans are when that big money rolls in, like what they do in the draft a lot of the time.
I was going to look it up, but I'd have no idea how to read it. It's something you could probably go to Niners Wire and find in one of Kyle's columns, but how much would fall off with Debo next year?
I don't expect you to know the answer to that either. I kind of feel like Debo is restructurable.
Mm.
It doesn't, I don't know the numbers or nothing like
that's
that.
That's a hell of a word.
I'm just thinking about, that would be we'd be going into his third year of the deal, or maybe his second year, because maybe he signed on the extension or whatever the case may be.
We got, this is impossible to read,
but
we have 2 years left on the deal, but
it feels like if he was willing to play ball, you could restructure his deal to make things work. But like I said, them getting Ricky Pearsall tells me they probably don't have plans of doing that. Because and you get Pearsall and you re-sign Juwan Jennings, where are these guys going to go?
Man, we really talk about this man Debo like he's not.
Not me.
I can't find the out. It looks like in the last year. Oh, so their out is coming up. What year are we in? 2024 to 20. So their out is after this season. It looks like the dead cap hit is 8.4 next year.
Mm. Mm.
And then, and 1.8 the year after.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And what's he scheduled to make next year?
He's not.
And this nothing's guaranteed?
Nope.
What's on the contract? What's the number?
He has nothing. He's been paid out. He has a signing bonus at 4.8, which it looks like he's already gotten that. Mm-hmm. Option proration 1.8. I got to be honest. I don't know what that phrase means. I've never seen that phrase before, so I don't know what it means.
So they can just out and out cut him for $8 million.
It looks like that's it. Yeah. I'll have to verify this.
I ain't gonna
Kyle.
Be happy that day, Debo Lee, man. I ain't gonna be happy. That's my boy. I think that's my favorite
but
Niner.
To your point, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's restructurable. Mm. I think we're talking brand new, which is going to create an entirely different set of problems.
And he can command more than probably what the Niners would be able to afford to pay him. I would think.
Yeah. We'll come back. Jason Jones joins us when Dilo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. One day we'll talk about CeeDee Lamb holding out from training camp like everybody
yeah,
else
Yeah, when
is.
He signs his contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens first? CeeDee gets paid or we talk about it?
Probably CeeDee gets paid.
I'm still fascinated by that Cowboys situation.
We're outside tonight, so we're planning for some football.
Can they pay all three?
I don't feel like they can. The Niners can't seem to pay all three.
I don't understand their cap situation at all.
Would the move, if you could only play two out of the three and you had to trade one, what would you do?
I'm starting with Micah.
Yeah, I ain't gonna
I'm paying Micah.
Say it, because I think we agree.
Well, I don't want to sound like a hater.
You hate that.
It sounds
you hate,
like I disparage this
you
guy.
You do.
Say
it with your chest.
I don't think he's.
Say as, I hate.
I don't.
Dak Prescott.
I don't hate.
I don't like Dak Prescott.
I don't have a problem with Dak Prescott.
We just think Dak Prescott is overrated.
I think he's overrated, and I think I have a problem with where people put him on the hierarchy of quarterbacks.
So fine. You guys would pick CeeDee and Micah.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Micah's a no-brainer. There's no question there. Who's throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb? Your boy?
Oh, no. He ain't doing it.
So who's throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb then?
Aaron Rodgers, when you're done with the
wow.
I'll find somebody.
Well, who is Dak throwing to, though, what's if you name? Don't have CeeDee? It's kind of like a...
Yeah, what's his name? Did a not a bad job. I mean, he won games. I don't know how good he is, but Cooper Rush.
Yeah. Nope.
So I'll send Dak to the Raiders or whatever for a year, and we'll figure out the quarterback situation after Gardner Minshew comes start for a season.
Well, look, but here's the other thing, though. I'd sign Dak Prescott. I'm not making you the highest paid quarterback in the game.
Yeah.
So you got to meet. I just gave you.
You're not
record
going
money.
To because someone will pay Dak, and that's what Dak knows.
All right. So I got to walk away. It's not that I don't
then
want
walk
you.
Away. Like it's fine. Then, yeah. then walk away. Dak can play for $55 million this year and sign a new contract next year.
Well, I'll figure it out.
Well, good luck with Cooper Rush. Good luck with Cooper Rush and your $30 million a year wide receiver.
Look, Cooper Rush. This is a guy that.
Sakes.
When I told you last week about how to run the option, Cooper. Him and Patrick Mahomes are the only ones that could do it just like I did when I was playing. And Cooper's a heck of a quarterback. And I just want to win so bad that, you know, I'm all in. I'm all in.
I hate how much you guys encourage.
Let's head to the 49ers training camp real quick. Kyle Shannon, what do you think of the situation in Dallas? Hold on, let him cook.
Wait a minute. I wasn't prepared for Kyle. Well, you know, we got Brock. I can't really be concerned about other people's situations. It's just one of those things where we just do what we can here in the 49ers. And we're just really good and stuff. And, you know, we just try to have good players and stuff. That's just what we do.
We can't have one serious conversation on this show. Not one. We got our first sorry I can't make it response.
Oh, no. Oh.
It was the longest shot we were shooting for.
Oh, the email?
It's our man, Brett. Oh. Yeah. Brett is going to be in Dublin.
Well, yeah. Goodbye, D-Lo.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be in Dublin.
Shout out Brett for the response, though.
Oh, he all. Yeah. 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 And to no one's surprise, he said, I will make sure that Sovereign Brands is a part of the 1,000th episode.
Come on, man.
So we'll have
that's why it's family, man.
We'll have some treats here for everybody.
Yeah, that's why it's family, man.
I got to make sure that's legal. I'm pretty sure. I can't see why it wouldn't be.
Just don't say it out
like
loud.
We've done it. No, we've hosted parties here before. There was a bar by down in the
middle.
That
office. Really happened.
So there's no reason we couldn't.
That really, if there was
like we host shows at a casino. Like there should be no problem with this.
No, they built the bar here.
They did. That's a shoot. They did. Let's bring in our man Jason Jones. Boy, he looks thrilled to be with us today. What's up, Jay? What's wrong, man?
I'm contemplating how come I'm not getting. If I knew the bar there, I'd have been like at the studio yesterday. If I knew that you had a whole bar.
It's not here now.
No, it was literally built.
That's kind of a bar, the counter bar-ish.
Well, yeah, that's a bar, like a kitchen bar.
Yeah. There was an actual bar.
Yes.
Yeah, no, they only bring it in for parties.
I mean, Jay might have to pull up, though, man. Come on, come up 80, dog.
I asked you if you thought we could get Jason Jones to come to Sacramento that week.
Come on, man, come up 80, dog. Come rock with us. What is that, a Wednesday? We'll do something afterwards.
I got my kids with work I got going on, you know. Am I going to be in California?
Bro,
write about us.
If you leave food at the house, the kids won't even notice you're not there. Just leave them enough food and they'll be fine.
That's very, very true. Very true. It's more a matter of, do I have to pick anybody up from school before I leave?
No.
Type thing.
That. No, that's understandable.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I don't want to be up 80 and then I get a phone call from, you know, CPS that my kid's been sitting at school.
We don't want that.
We definitely don't want that.
The 1,000th episode of D'Lo and KC is not worth that call.
I'm like, yeah, where are you at? I'm up in Sacramento and I'm lit right now. So can you put my kid in an Uber?
Turning this into JJ's kids. Just not baby's kids.
Them kids survived.
Then I'll be coming up there asking for another job. I'm like, yeah, I got to kind of, you know, work off these legal fees.
Hey, go back to covering the Kings. Huh?
Come on back.
They don't want me back.
Did you guys?
They won't have me.
Speaking of, you guys didn't hear this, but are you familiar with what's kind of going on in society, so to speak, right? I was listening to Bill Simmons, citing my sources, and he talked about how his kid, who's like a teenager, he's like in high school or something like that, routinely gets into, there's another brand for it. It's not Uber, but I'll just say that for the sake of argument. And self-driving Uber, like, every day, takes them to practice, takes them to school, everything. And I guess down in LA, like, it's relatively common. Like, it's not even, like, people do this. They get in the self-driving car, Uber.
That sounds scary.
Yeah, and he was just talking about, like, we come from a culture where, like, yeah, it scares us, but the kid is like, just whatever. Like, I'm getting in, I can text, I can do whatever. Any of you guys taking the self-driving Uber?
No.
You taking the self-driving Uber to Chris Brown tonight?
No, I'm driving myself to Chris Brown.
That sounds terrifying. but they're doing it.
I mean, like, hypothetically, imagine, like, you're hanging out, you want to be responsible, you get, you know, you have, you know, a few too
couple
many.
Beverages, yep.
Yeah, and you call the self-driving Uber and you can't imagine you take, you know, some recreational vitamins and you get in the
self-driving.
Can't
even tell them where you're going.
Imagine getting in a car. Hey, what's up, man?
And you flip out when you realize the car is moving and there's no one driving.
You're talking about fighting
to get out the car.
Does that enhance the high or destroy the high?
I don't know. I'm intrigued but scared. Like that would be like the best way to get someone off the drugs. Be like, hey, we're gonna let you get high and call the self-driving Uber. You'd be like, man, I swear to God, I got so high the car was driving itself.
I ain't never taking them edibles again. I couldn't even see the driver.
Whatever y'all gave me, I never want that again. I got in an Uber with no driver and it took me home.
John Cena was driving.
I actually saw one of those driverless cars one time and it freaked, because I was like walking in a parking lot and I see a car coming at me and there's no one driving.
Somebody summoned it. Yeah. Now you can do that.
You know how crazy that is?
I thought
I was in a movie. I'm like, what the hell? There's no one in the car.
Nah, it's crazy. Waymo is the company that everybody in the chat is. Waymo.
Okay.
I don't have that app, nor will I.
New York has a Uber-like company that's just Teslas or electric vehicles. It's like Green Lyft or something like that, and it's just it's like they're all finding ways to be something different. Like you could create like the purple and gold Lyft, where it's just Laker fans that pick you up and drive you around. Kenny tried to apply, but they wouldn't.
That's not true. Don't listen to these people, man. They always try to lump me with these sorry Lakers. Don't listen to these guys.
Hey, speaking of LA, your Dodgers get better?
I think so. They got a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
They just got somebody else right now. I just saw it pop up on the alerts.
When's the deadline? 30 minutes?
Yeah, I think so.
Four?
Yeah. They got outfielder Kevin Kiermaier from the Blue Jays.
And they probably don't even need that guy. They do.
They need all the help they can in October.
Jesus.
See, Jason's real. Like, he knows what it is.
They need. I am beyond the days of, they got a good record. No, you get everything you can and then some. Because I don't need to go through another Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, forgot how to hit for 2 weeks. And the 2 weeks happen to be in October.
When
I got to watch them go nuclear in April and May and supposed to be excited. No, get everyone. hoard all the talent. I don't care.
Let me ask you this again. I think I've had this question for the last like 3 years. Thank you, Ramsey. For like the last 3 years, if they don't win it, does Dave Roberts come back?
I don't think Dave Roberts is ever leaving.
I don't think so either. If he hadn't been fired by now, he ain't going nowhere.
I mean, remember how long of a leash they gave Mattingly? Yeah. And it took, I don't remember what finally did it, but I mean, and Dave's better than Mattingly was. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
he's a good coach, a good manager.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like, you know what? My grandkids will see, he'll be like Tom Millisorda. My grandkids will see, Dave Roberts managing. Like when I was a kid, that's the only manager I knew for like almost my entire, most of my life.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm like, you other teams change managers? Like, why? I had Tommy Lasorda, my entire childhood, up through, a long time. So I figured that's how Dave is going to be.
That's how the Kings are going to be.
Is he Kyle? Mike Brown. Is he Kyle Shanahan?
Maybe. Maybe so. That's a good comp. Dave Roberts is a really good manager. I like him as a manager. Mm-hmm. I, for whatever reason, they just can't get it done.
I don't blame him for last year. I mean, who could predict the two of the best hitters in baseball just decided to stop hitting? Mm. There's times where I was angry with him, and if I told a friend of mine I wanted to fist fight him and Clayton Kershaw in the parking lot.
That's aggressive.
But I don't blame him. I don't blame him for last year. They didn't get him any pitching. Everyone knew they didn't have – I mean, when you're starting Clayton game one, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're toast this year. Mm. Urias decided to be a criminal or an alleged criminal. I mean, things just Walker didn't come back, So, I mean, I don't blame him for last year because the bats they had, the way they didn't hit is inexcusable. I mean, they had guys in scoring position just wouldn't hit. So, like I said, you know how I am with the Dodgers. Wake me around my birthday because that's generally when they want to ruin my life. Literally. I mean, they love to get eliminated right around my birthday. I have a birthday party. They love to get eliminated during my birthday or when I'm on a flight and I land somewhere. Oh, they've been eliminated. Thank you. You haven't lived until Jason Thompson is at a practice talking trash to you because his team beat your team again.
What are you, a Phillies fan?
Yeah.
Can we point out what an incredible sentence that was? You haven't lived until Jason Thompson has talked trash to you.
Because if you think about it, it's Jason Thompson. And if you've been around JT, you don't think of him as a trash talker.
Right.
But God, he wouldn't leave me alone. I'm like, man, it's okay. I mean, I'm old. Man,
Jason still won. He still want to fight JT over that. Like,
that was
you. That was funny.
I think that was 2008.
It was a long time ago. It still hurts because Jonathan Broxton decided to, be a piece of, at the worst possible time.
That's when J-Roll Jimmy Rollins took him to the gap.
That's when our all-star closer was afraid of Matt Stairs.
Oh, Matt Stairs. Well, Matt Stairs came into Dodger Stadium and just used it as a launching pad.
He came in there to hit one pitch.
used it as a launching pad.
He was in there for one reason, and he let him do it. Mm.
That's when me and Philadelphia used to get along. I remember those days.
Let's talk about happy things, though. I mean, let's talk about happy things.
What exactly makes you happy? Kendrick Lamar makes you happy. What else?
A lot of things make me happy. I mean, the Dodgers generally make me happy until October. Yeah. I mean, I like music. I like movies. I mean, a lot of things make me happy. We don't always talk about those things, but a lot of things make – I'm not like a miserable person, I just – I get those flashbacks and I start feeling the pain, when I remember I was literally at a birthday party watching the plane get lit up.
Well,
so I just kept drinking.
Well, let me ask you this. Does Steve Kerr's Team USA rotations, does that make you happy?
Yes, because Jason Tatum's not happy.
I knew he was going to say
that. That's beautiful.
That's a good call by Roxy. Mariah Carey makes him happy, too.
Love Mariah Carey.
I don't know if I heard that story. I didn't know it was that deep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just went to the concert. I bought two shirts and everything.
You saw her in Vegas.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's my girl, too, Mimi.
I got the Mimi shirt and everything, man. Two of them.
I salute, man, because that's my girl, Mimi.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
she might be crazy as a Betsy bug, but
she, because she see me like at hip hop concerts, she could not believe what she was seeing. She was like, "You were like, I've never seen you like." She's like, "I don't make you this happy." I'm like, "Cause you can't sing Butterfly." Pretty simple. I mean, it's different, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things, Jason's love for Mariah Carey. But back to Team USA, you're enjoying Jason Tatum not playing and everything that's surrounding that. How about the way your boy is playing? At the age of 97, LeBron James still appears to be the greatest player on the planet.
Him and AD balling, and somehow Darvin Ham managed to get them into the play-in.
Well, there had to be slander somewhere, so let's just...
I'm sorry, that was unfair. He's a great human being.
Poor Darvin. Just chilling it. Where's he at? Milwaukee right now? He's back in Milwaukee.
Yeah, minding his own business.
Still catches strays, you know. Hey, but yeah, LeBron is. I don't know. I don't think we'll ever see anything like him again.
I don't think so.
No.
This is just like not. I mean, like, what are we? Like, this is between that and KD. You know, walked around like I had an old man injury for like 3 weeks, and then like. Gets on the court, like, I'm going to make everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I want to see Bogey play well because, you know, I like Bogey. But, you know, if we're going to get, like, 2017 Kevin Durant and LeBron's going to play like he's 30, I mean.
Well, it's gonna, that's the thing.
The only other thing that's weird is that why does Embiid look so lost out there?
I don't know what's going on with that. But you said, like, you wanted to see Bogey play good. You saw it. Like, they didn't play bad. It was just Team USA went crazy. The one thing we didn't talk about that I didn't notice it when it happened, and then the internet got a hold of it, gave you different angles, and slowed down the tape. Steph's three at the end was filthy. Mm. The guy was pointing at the bench. The ball still had, like, another 3 feet to go. He's pointing at the bench. That was nasty.
Like, I say Steph is one of the most – he might be the most arrogant player I've ever seen in person.
Yeah, and he can back it up, though.
Yeah, and like I said, if he's not on your team, you probably want to punch him in the face. I said, remember back in the day, you could be able to – the media sat courtside. He hit a three on the Kings and turned around and started talking. Mm. And I remember the guys was like, man, we can't stand that mother. I'm like, what you going to do about it? And no, it's funny. No one thinks of Steph as a trash talker. Right. I mean, like the general fan doesn't think of it. Right. But then again, people don't consider Steph a small player. I'm like, Steph is not a little guy. He's not 5'9". Steph is 6'3", like, you know,
6'4".
Yeah. You know, but I just think, you know, we still envision him as the kid from Davidson. Mm-hmm. Like, Steph's 36, which is wild to think.
Man.
From that entire draft. Is he the only one still playing?
Feels like it. Yeah. Yeah, it feels like it. Who was the first coach of the year?
I can't think of it. I mean, Rubio's gone. Reek is out the league. Yo.
Blake, right? Was that Blake's year?
Yeah, that was Blake's year. Yeah.
Yeah, Blake's gone. Yeah.
Wow. Because
remember back in the day when you were 36, you were done.
Mm. Yeah. And it does not feel like Steph is even remotely close to finish.
No, it's about like, to get another contract. You know,
he should.
You look at that, 36, you know, KD's 30. There was a time when you were 35, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, sign him to a contract. Why? He's, you know, give him a minimum deal. But these guys are, you know, making it hard for Tatum to get on the court, apparently.
Yeah, DeMar just signed a deal at the age of 35.
Mm-hmm.
That is just wild.
And everybody was happy.
Oh.
It wasn't even like, why did we get the old guy? Like, no, we're on our way.
Just like your prime years are just so much, you know, that span of time is so much longer now. And even when you're not in your prime anymore, you can still be pretty damn good.
The other crazy thing about that thought process, too, is they enter the league younger now, too. So they enter the league younger. And their prime has been extended, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Unless Monty drafted you.
Well, no, Monty, you better go to JC and then play a graduate year as well.
Monty's the only one who drafts guys who can rent a car.
drafting guys who can already drink.
Yeah.
That's the requirement, man.
Yeah.
But guys been going to the bar for 3 years. He's like, yeah, that's a guy I want right there.
We get accustomed to these guys for so much longer now, too. And it's almost like, I don't know, is this the first time we're really kind of experiencing this? Like guys who, like LeBron is probably the first, right? Who didn't play in college or played 1 year, and now the technology and everything else like that. I mean, nobody's going to be Bron, but like Carmelo played a long, long time as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just going to be more and more commonplace at this point.
Yeah, a lot of guys. I mean, think about how long KD's been in the league at this point. Mm. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. It's been like 16, 17 years now.
Hmm. Yeah, he was 1 year at Texas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you look at guys like, I mean, even some of the guys who were retired, like Jamal Crawford played a long time.
I mean, Kareem did play to like 40.
40.
41. Yeah. The big guys could play for a long time.
Yeah, that it used to be only the big guys played a long time.
The guards and the wings.
Well, now it feels like the opposite.
Well, yeah, now it's
because
like
I'm not Mike banking on Joel playing 10 more years.
That would be crazy.
Nah, like Mike Conley's still playing, and yeah, like Kyle Lowry signed, and Kyle Lowry's still around. Yeah. You know, the game has really shifted like that. You know, before, if you were a wing or a backcourt player, you didn't play. You weren't 37 starting. Mm. You were that guy on the bench, like, you know, good job, guys. You know, mm-hmm. If you got into the, like, think about, I mean, how the game is so different. Like when Mitch Richmond was on the Lakers in his late 30s, it was like he's just here in case something. Like now you would sign a Mitch Richmond, and today you sign him at 36, 37.
Oh,
you might be him to like really play.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just a different, ball game. And I was looking at some of those rosters from back in the day. Like, remember when Tracy McGrady was at the end of the bench for the Spurs?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, yeah, he's just here. But today's NBA guys like that, you know, they might, you know, they haven't been an All Star maybe 5, 6, 7 years, mm. You know, but they're still in the league. Well, Vince Carter played that; he was like my age.
Right.
You know. Right. You know, I think we got a few guys left that actually had sidekicks, you know.
and Dame, you say you can't imagine Joel Embiid playing another 10 years. I agree with you. I can't imagine Jokic playing another 10 years, but nothing's wrong with him.
He just doesn't want to.
I'm bored with basketball.
And at this point, any year Jokic plays, I'll be surprised. Oh, he's coming back to do this again? Man, he's really sticking around for this
anyone
job.
I almost wonder if it's an act. Has anyone ever said, because you can't be that good and not care.
No, he cares. I think he cares. We say this all the time, and I think it's real. Like, we all, like, everyone wants the Mamba mentality, right? Everyone wants to be Kobe because they saw how driven he was and how great he was. When in reality, we should all strive to be Jokic. Mm. Jokic appears to have the best work-life balance of any professional athlete in history. Hey, Nikola, you just won a championship. Congratulations. Yeah, I just want to go home. Like, he literally just finished his day at work, and he wants to go home. It is the most relatable thing in history.
Yeah, he's like, man, playing in the June is rough. You know, I haven't seen my horses in a month or 2 months or whatever it was. Yeah, I mean – and people forget Kobe was crazy. Like,
yeah,
like he was like some, I mean, there's certain guys like him and like a Jordan. I mean, they were just like maniacal.
It's
like
a sickness.
Elevator didn't go to the top floor.
Like, do you really want to be this obsessed? Do you really want to, do you really want to be like, you know, think about like that Redeem team, all that talent. They were like, oh my God, Kobe's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He's been here since 5 a.m. lifting weights. He's like, we're coming in from the club. He's like, where are you going? Going to go lift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not normal.
And that's why guys like him can't be a coach.
Mm-hmm. I love because watching.
They get sick of the players.
I love watching that Redeem team doc, and they tell the story of Kobe and Powell.
Mm. Yeah.
Where Kobe's like, he said he was going to run through Powell in the first play, and we're like, no, he's not. And then they show it, and I don't know if they added a sound effect or if that's really what it sounded like, but you just heard Powell's chest cave in, and Bosch's reaction is so funny. Bosch is like, yo! So
he
great.
Really did it. But there was a time in the NBA where that was normal.
Yep.
Did you hear the story? Jason, about what he did in training camp that year, the next year with the gold medal? So they played Spain in 08. Mm. Remember, they got their ass kicked by the Celtics. The Lakers got beat by the Celtics. So first day of training camp, of course, is Jason's talk. Kobe gets there at 5. He hangs the gold medal in Powell's locker.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one, yeah.
He hangs the gold medal in Powell's locker. Powell gets there, opens the locker, sees that, goes, yo, what is this? And he's fired up. He was like, yo, we got our ass kicked in June. You got your ass kicked in August. How many more times you want to be in second place? And walked away. Left Powell there cussing up a storm. Powell went on to have the best season of his career that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
He has a unique way of motivating people.
Yeah. You almost wonder, even though that was only like, 14, 16 years ago, can you even motivate people like that now? It doesn't. I don't know if new generations are built for that. You say something like that to them now, they're like, oh, so you don't like me?
They're calling their HR representative and unfollowing you on Twitter.
They're like, okay, you're blocked. Who are the people who go through celebrity Instagram accounts to figure out who's on who they're not following?
I have no idea. It's got to be. They've got to be industry plants.
When I'm up at 3 a.m. playing college football 25, because, I have no life.
You brought the link.
I never go, you know what? Who is Damian not following right now?
Kenny.
And then start searching and be like, aha, he's got beef with him. whose job is that to sit around and do that?
It's got to be somebody in the camps or at the record labels and stuff. Or
leaks it to him. Hey, man.
And it'd be some obscure, not follows. I wouldn't even think to check. It's crazy.
They got rid of one of the other pastimes, right? Because can you still look at people's likes? Because that was the other thing people used to do.
I do remember that.
I don't think you can do that anymore. I think they got rid of it, but they would find Buddy Hield liked a tweet of a Photoshop in a 76ers uniform. And
what that's really going to do is save people who like their smut on the internet. Was it Doc Rivers who got busted?
It was Doc.
It was Doc and it was Kurt Rambis too, didn't he? Didn't Kurt Rambis like something?
Yeah, I think it was Kurt. They didn't have a burner account.
Doc was on White Girls Gone Wild and was like, oh, I like this one.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, I was like, oh man.
Did you watch Clipped? Did we talk about that?
I watched Clipped, yeah.
Oh, okay. Man. Oh, that's right. You saw it before all of us saw it.
Yeah, he saw the whole thing.
Yeah, he saw it. Maybe you can provide insight as to why Doc Rivers came home while the riots were going on to yell at his white wife in his Clippers Doc Rivers warm-up jacket that he wore to the grocery store.
Yeah, why is he getting coffee in his warm-up? What the hell? He's just out there buying fruit and vegetables dressed for practice.
I still think the dad had the best line. He was like, you come home yelling at your white wife for you didn't know she was white when you married her.
It's like that was his day of reckoning. Wow. Look what you did to me. Yeah, it's like I love the dramatized stories like that. It was all of a sudden in 92, now you realize who you married.
They hit him like a ton
you
of
got your little got kids it. Running around. You're like,
what have I done?
And I think she was pregnant too.
I've let the race down. It's like, bruh. You got that's the dad. Man, he's all throwing fruit at the.
He starts throwing oranges against
the wall. That was crazy. That was absolutely ridiculous.
The best part about that is where did that story come from? Because that wasn't in Ramona's podcast. So where did they get Doc Rivers?
In the writer's room. That's got to be Doc. Let's add some drama to this because that was just wild. It took the rise, and you're like, all of a sudden, you're mad at your white wife. Like, come on, man.
That was insane. That was insane.
Yeah.
I don't know which was worse, the storyline or him wearing the Doc Rivers
shirt. The Doc Rivers shirt was way worse.
That was crazy.
way worse.
You go to the grocery store and you just like see, like, I don't know, Trey Lyles wearing his warm up at Rayleigh's. Like, what are you doing, man?
It really exemplified how bad the Clippers are in Los Angeles, though, because it's not like a Laker can do that.
No.
But if you're a Clipper, you could walk around with your warm-up jacket on and, oh, no, go ahead in front of us.
That was a crazy aspect.
you go to the store and, like, you know, Kevin Herter's in there in his warm-up. Like, at Starbucks. He's like, what? Bonus is, like, getting his car washed in his game jersey.
Oh, man. Hey, we were talking about, like, players, you know, playing at 35, 36 or whatever the case may be, and like how crazy it is, and you know, they're still playing, they're still being athletic. Well, in the Matthews Masters chatty house, Devin says the great Harrison Barnes is still playing. Sir, he's not 35 36.
Yeah, he's like 31.
He's like 30 30, man. Leave the homie here. God, that's uncalled for.
I thought that was hilarious because, no, sir, he just turned 30.
Well, that 2031 pick swap is going to play till at least 39.
Oh, man. Come on, man. Yeah. You know that's why the Kings, that was a bad trade.
That might be a good pick in 7 years.
It was a terrible trade. Wouldn't have done the trade, Jason, because of the 2031 pick swap.
What if in 7 years the Kings are? I saw this, like, they just don't like them. I mean,
that's it. That's it.
For a pick swap 7 years from now, like, by then, De'Aaron will be what, 30 something?
Look, not only that, Bontip said that was the best asset of that trade. Was the pick swap. The entire trade. DeMar DeRozan, second-round picks, Harrison Barnes. No.
An 11-year-old that's playing right now is the best asset in that trade.
That come is on, awesome. Man. Some kid, 12-year-old in France is the prize. It's like, I just said, man.
And then Jason.
It's already bad enough we grade trades, like, the day of, but to kill them for a trade – but what if they don't make the deal and you find out because they didn't want to make a pick swap 7 years from now?
Yep.
Then it's like, Monty's an idiot. Crazy.
Yeah. The other,
like, you're going to get fired over a pick you'll never make.
The other thing about that is, I talked about it earlier. I was like, oh, man, the pick swap and, you know, San Antonio could be great and the Kings could be bad. Yeah. What if the draft class is like it was this year? The number two pick couldn't even play damn near in summer league.
It's like, yeah, like the number two pick was at one point was like shooting 2 for 21 in summer league. And yeah, so I'm like, it's just crazy. I think people are obsessed with assets. Like, they've got all these picks. Well, the pick don't mean a damn thing if you don't get the right guy. I mean, you can have 15 picks and take 15 terrible players. I mean,
that hit a little too close to home.
That wasn't intended that way. They never had assets like that. They never had the Oklahoma City, you know, we've got 15 picks in the next 6 years. Okay, what you going to do with all that?
Right.
Like, you know, yeah, it's wild, man. It's just wild.
Yeah. Jay, we appreciate you, my man. Thank you as always.
No problem. I'm about to jump back on Twitter and laugh at these, not laugh, but I guess read these NABJ Trump tweets.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I'm not going this year, so I'll be, they can have fun with that.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't either. And like I said, I'm going to be in California.
Oh, my man. Jason Jones. Thank you, brother.
All right, y'all. Catch y'all next week.
All right. For those who missed that, the National Association of Black Journalists is meeting in Chicago. And on one of their panels is former President Donald J. Trump. And boy, that was an interesting conversation last night, watching members defend it and getting a very different feel in the DMs, in the text. Yeah, that was interesting. That is a... That's interesting.
Yeah, to say the least.
I ain't going to be there. So shout out to Jason. He ain't going to be there. We know a couple. Marshall will be there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he misses those.
I want to go to one time. I mean, this probably would
be. You ain't been hit up to join yet? By
not the national one, the Sacramento one I have.
Well, yeah, no doubt. The Sacramento one is always like, it never works. Like, I always want to, sorry, man, we got a concert that night, right, or we got a meeting. Like, it's just hard to get on our schedule. Yeah. The first person who asked me to join was Mark Spears.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
See, he knows your name.
Well, no, he didn't say that. I think he just wanted money from me. He was like, hey.
He gets a finder's fee.
You know what? No, this was a few. Yeah, you know what it is? Because he, okay. No, he knows me through someone else.
Uh-huh.
If you can sniff that out.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, when are you guys going to join the National Association for Black Journalists?
Then I was just
you. He wanted my money. Now he's going to say, you guys, as in D'Lo and KC.
Yeah. I want to go. I want to go to one of the.
Yeah, not particularly this one.
No,
but,
I'll
yeah.
skip next year maybe.
Good. That was a bold ass choice though, and the moderators. I had to do a little research on them. My goodness.
Dun, 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 dun.
Mustard on the beat, ho. All right.
Yeah, that's a trip.
We appreciate y'all being with us. We appreciate y'all so much for being with us. Hit the thumbs up before you go. Hit the subscribe buttons. Do all of that good stuff. Make sure you're following us across our social media platforms. We're going to head over to 102.5, play some music, do some giveaways. We're headed out to Chris Brown tonight if you're pulling up. Come say hi. Well, say hi to me. Don't get too close to Kenny. You know the rules there.
I tried that again yesterday, and that's not true.
Well, the KSFM audience might not know. They just can't walk up on you like that.
Empress came right up there and said hi to both of us. No problem.
Well, that's true. She did do that, and she was safe in that show because we were able to, you know, we got the earpieces, and we know her. It's okay. And
my lead security guard was there, so it was
okay. Your lead security guard was there. We'll run it back next on Sacramento Sports Leader. Appreciate you tuning in here on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.